Hello, welcome to the Lately in JavaScript podcast. I'm Manuel Lemus, and this is episode 59. We have been doing this for about 5 years now. And as always, I have here with me Artur Sosins from Latvia, which has been my podcast partner for quite a long time, and he's now celebrating the fact that this is a new daddy. Yeah. Hello, Artur.
Oh, and I'm spending my precious sleep time on podcasts. That's actually awesome. It's over midnight already here.
Yeah, well, but it's always fun. Yeah, but so you don't lose more sleep, we are going to talk very, very brief but interesting JavaScript topics. And we're starting from one that talks about WebM. WebM is format. I don't know if it was it created by Google or something, a video format. And there is this WebM.js library, which seems to be to play videos natively in WebM format. And we can see here that it works, but at least for me, when this when I play it, the fan of my computer starts being noisier, probably because it is it is sucking the CPU of the machine, so it's probably not optimized for the video hardware. And looking inside, it seems it used to use a port of FFmpeg, which is a program written, I don't know if it is C or C++, which hints that they probably use the mscriptum.
Beloved mscriptum, yeah.
Yeah, everything that seems to require a lot of power is probably a port from some other language to JavaScript using mscriptum. And anyway, it even gets stuck. I don't know if it is the lack of bandwidth or too much CPU. Anyway, I think I'm going to stop this because the fan is kind of hurting. Anyway, it's just to say that yet another heavy duty task is now possible in JavaScript, even if it sucks your CPU.
Yeah, but I think video demonstrates a converting process. That's why it sucks. It's not just a playback. You can convert to WebM format using the WebM.js library, and you could set the different parameters there as you saw. So it's converting on the runtime. That's why it's sucking all your CPU. It's not simply a playback. Playback should be smooth.
Yeah, well, it's like the FFmpeg program itself. It also does that.
True.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on to another topic. It is about getting started with Falcor. Falcor is an open source library provided by Netflix. Artur, you seem to know about this better. Well, what can you explain what this does?
I read through the article. Maybe I can try to share the screen a bit here too. What Falcor does, it solves two main problems. One is that some data that you want to access is not graph, is not tree-like like JSON format is, but is graph-like. So it does not have only parent and children relationship, but also more, not even sibling, but more of on same, we can call probably similar to graph, same level relationships. So for example, ng-conf could go to both categories, and this would be the model how it could be added to both categories. it's also like some stuff like that underneath it, but you don't have to worry about really. It's like you can count it like a single model cloud of all the data that you retrieve from the server, and then you just ask something from it, and it checks if this data is already there and returns it, or asks the server for this specific data. So if you see, there are simple example of the standard API that we have, that we request user information, it gets returned, then we look for some events of the user, it again gets user information and events data, so we need both to display some information, stuff like that. And with Falcor, we have a local cache, which is a model, and as a front-end application, we don't know which that data gets from where. We just request some data and it returns us and handles it on its own to request the missing data and cache it and store all data in one huge JSON model.
Yeah, it that's seems to be a more efficient approach to handle those use cases.
Yeah, but of course, as usual, you need to define that model and where to get all the data and stuff like that. But in the end, you don't have to worry about that the model does it for you. It just structures all the data you get, and you can take any parts that you need from it.
Yeah, I kind of have developed a small library for a personal project that sort of did that, but in a simpler terms, it's probably not as extensive as this library. But moving on, we are now going to talk about a library that is quite impressive. It's called Tracking.js, and
it's like an open CV for the app.
Yes, I think you can say that, if not a port using them.
Also convenient.
And I'm trying to figure which browser I should share. Maybe I should share the browser that has WebGL enabled. I just realized.
So while we're trying, maybe I can try to share this. Oh, so you're already starting, okay?
Okay. So this is a Tracking.js site, and it has many examples. Some of them I could not put to work. For instance, you have this basic one that you
detects
the faces. This looks like Facebook, and but the most impressive one is this one called Iron Spheres. I'm wondering if I can make it to work. I don't know what you can see if I move the head. I think it's the inverted logic, because I'm moving the head towards up and it thinks I am down.
Yeah.
And the
and what about right and left?
Right and left. I think I cannot move too fast, or else it doesn't detect it.
So yeah, it was really impressive. At the first when I tried it, I was like, wow, that's great.
All this done in JavaScript. Yeah, it's very, very impressive. And if I can come closer to one sphere, you can see the reflex. But the logic is inverted. It seems I cannot do that. They have other examples, but I could not make them work, like this car. Oh no, it works. But what shall I do?
You selected some kind of controls. I don't know.
No, I didn't.
Try to press on racing car again. Going back to the
asking me, why does they need the camera?
I don't know. It's actually quite a good question. I could not figure out myself.
I need to move. Oh, well.
It's like a color tracking game, but I don't know what the color is about.
Maybe controls, it's... wheel. Ah, wheel.
Yeah. No, press on it one more time.
Touch.
No, keyboard it... probably.
Gamepad, no. Keyboard.
And put a lower quality to do better. Yeah, and now
what is that?
Some information.
Oh, I see. Okay. The air brakes.
No, I don't use brakes, just accelerate.
Just go ahead.
Yeah.
And go.
And now it does not have camera. Interesting.
Yeah. Oh, maybe the controls. What is supposed to happen here?
It's just a racing game, nothing special. What did you expect?
I expect it to have to do with tracking.
Maybe the wheel was, and with the camera wheel, that you would need to put your hands like a wheel and steer it or something. Let me try.
Oh, I see. Let's try again.
I don't know. It just
let's start. Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I don't get anything from it. So
Probably. No, it's sharing the device. Shall I raise my hands and?
I guess not. So I think it's just a game, just a colorful game that you can play, and it's probably rendering it.
Well, this is very impressive. Which I could not make all the demos work.
Interesting that I can enable actually my camera to use it together with the Hangout without losing the Hangout video.
Yeah, it is asking for me to share, but you can see my screen, right?
Yeah.
The faces again, faces with camera. It tries to face. Life ray, I'm not sure what is this. Okay, anyway, this is just to show that this library is very, very impressive, and you can do many things now depending on your imagination, knowing that you have this computer vision library, and I kind of liked it a lot, but apart from some demos not working. Okay, but moving on to the next topic. Sharing the screen here, please. The next topic talks about the problems about securing single-page web applications. They talk about several security problems, like cross-site scripting attacks. They have an example here. If you not escape the user input, you can have problems.
Yeah, and alert is the least of the problems that you can do.
Alert is not the problem. It's just to demonstrate that alert.
That they can work. Execute any JavaScript code they want through that.
Yeah.
Which means...
They also talk about secure user credentials. If you use HTTP, you can have man-in-the-middle attacks. Talking about using cookies to identify users, like you use in most web applications. As I mentioned, man-in-the-middle attacks. Cross-site request forgery is one thing that many people do not think about, because it could be started in some other site and it looks like it came from your site. And if you do not assure that any cookies that identify the user were sent by your site, you can mislead the users. And you can believe that a user that's probably accessing some other site is actually accessing your site. And then talks about other things that I'm not familiar, like synchronize a token, double submit cookies. session ID challenges, and also talk about JSON Web Tokens. This is quite an advanced topic, but seems to be the latest trend. I was trying to look into a solution for accessing a Google API, and they made it so complicated that now you have to either use a complicated library there that you don't understand, but you just know that it works, or use some other, or try to understand all the security problems, all the security solutions, which is quite hard these days. So anyway, this is an interesting article. Anybody that wants to go in depth about these solutions and the security concerns, I recommend that you go ahead. So now moving on to another topic, and this one is quite unusual. Oh, where is this? Oh, screen sharing. Okay, no, this is the other browser, not this one.
I thought you liked the topic so much you want to repeat it.
Yeah, it's because I have too many windows that should not be for sharing right now. And it seems I'm sharing myself.
Whoa, it was recursion there.
No, it's this one. No, it was minimized. Okay. That's why it was not working. Okay. So this jets.js, it's a native CSS search engine. It's kind of confused me, but then looking at their examples, when you go here, they search for certain values in HTML, and then they show the CSS that appears there, like styles and classes. And then they say by jets, I'm not sure what they mean. Could be these data content values.
Yeah, it's basically a library that creates a style sheet and uses CSS query for data content and heights based on it. And it seems to be working the fastest of all the other solutions, either applying the style or class directly to separate item. They just filter it by content.
Yeah. Well, it can be useful, although...
Well, if you need to search in a large data set of HTML elements, it definitely will be useful.
Well, for instance, I use Chrome. I use the search in Chrome, but sometimes if you know the element, it's better to point the element and inspect it directly. But I understand that if you are not sure exactly where is the element on the page, this may make sense.
No, it's not even like that. It's just a list of or a table of users. Then you can browse, not the browse, but filter and search. And what is the fastest way to search?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, now moving on. Just to mention briefly that the Node.js project is coming quite fast because they just merged the Node.js and the IO.js efforts and created the Node.js for 4.0 just recently, and right after they released 4.1. And well, to me, it looks like a minor version with bug fixes, not exactly something with new features. But I don't know, Arthur, have you been using a Node.js 4?
Have not yet tried it, the famous version of after the merge with IOJS. could have many new things, but as you see, the one version came out, and recently other version came out, probably, as you said, to do some bug fixes, which means it might not be as stable to use for...
Yes, because they call it stable and put it in capitals.
It might be stable, it passes all the tests, but there could be some situations which were not tested.
Yeah, but they have also a list of non-issues, so it probably does not pass all the tests. At least the tests that they should be done to verify those bugs. Anyway, Node.js is moving quite fast. That's what matters to comment about this. So we're moving on to another topic, this time about an interesting library called OpenSea Dragon. Sea Dragon, if I remember correctly, was a technology developed by Microsoft to show high resolution images. And in this case, this OpenSea Dragon seems to be open source version of a similar library. Let's you zoom. You can zoom on the images and get to see the details.
The interesting part that when you zoom, you actually see that it is quite pixelated, and only then it becomes more clear. So it means the first view that we use the image, it does not load the whole large image with all the pixels. It loads like a smaller version of it, and then only loads the higher resolution version when you zoom in. So it should be quite efficient in that way.
Yeah, and it's quite fast. Sorry. Yeah. And you can pan also if you want to take a look at this guy's face. Well, you don't get much more than this, but it gets many details. It's interesting.
Yeah, and even if you pan to left or the right, it loads only that specific areas in the large resolution. Yeah, so it's really as efficient as it goes, probably.
Yeah, seems very efficient. Now moving on to another topic, which mentions that ECMAScript specification moved to GitHub. But probably the most interesting detail of this story, it's not so much about... It's not so much the move to GitHub, but the fact that they use ECMAScript markup instead of Word. So they say it's a custom dialect of HTML built for writing ECMAScript specifications. This change will make it much easier for the JavaScript to contribute, because since it's all text, it's easier to do version control and do diffs. If you use Microsoft Word before, it would probably you have to do a special procedure just to compare versions.
Yeah, there are functions like track changes, but it would be much harder. That simple.
Yeah, text. And there is this page on GitHub IO that documents the ECMAScript markup. It is interesting. In they even provide some libraries to actually process the
convert the mark specification to HTML or something like that.
There is the they tell about the commands that it supports, the clauses and so, and then how it can convert it, for instance, to HTML.
It seems to be much, much more complex than Markdown, and it could even be on par with LaTeX.
Yeah, I was thinking precisely about LaTeX, because it has many tags that are commands that expand to complex blocks, and it's practically a language. Yeah, well, this is just a curiosity, not really directly related with the JavaScript, but now the specification of ECMAScript 2016 is being done using this new markup language. Now we are going to comment on the Innovation Award, as always we do it every month, and we are going to start by the nominees of July 2015, in this case of JavaScript. We had like five nominees, and Arturs, which ones would you like to comment? Oh, there is one that you should comment.
Yeah, well, one of the packages I want to comment is actually my package. Not that I'm thinking it's the best or something, but just I would probably know the most about it to share with you. And it's a JavaScript mobile app detection. And basically what it does, it allows you to detect if user has an app installed on your iOS or Android phone. So how it works is that apps have some custom URL schemes that they could register to the device. And when someone tries to open that custom URL scheme, it would open your app and passing data to it. And many websites use it, for example, providing links on the website that you click on, you would go to that specific app's specific section, like for a news reading app, for example. Problem is that if user does not have your app installed, the link would go nowhere. It would simply show the error. So what my class does, it tries to detect if the app is installed and it opens or there is an error, and then it could redirect to user's specific platform, either to iOS store or Android Google Play store to your application. So yeah, you are not losing your readers by clicking on the by providing custom URL scheme links in your page.
Yeah, that's interesting. So you detect it by catching an error when trying to open the application.
Yes, something like that. It's a little more complex. There are different things to handle in different browsers for different platforms. For example, for some reason, Google decided that Chrome should not open URL schemes directly, but use intent scheme to open other schemes, and you need to work around that. And there are many things that I needed to work around to make it work.
That's very useful class. Yeah. And okay, what else?
And the next one I want to comment is a multifunctional file reader by something new. Oh, there it is. Andrew Stoth from Hungary. And what this class does, it allows, we all know that with HTML5 we have a little more what we can do with files around the files, especially the drag and drop file upload that I see many websites are using. And this class exactly provides it. It allows you to set, so it allows you to set some HTML element on which you click, it would open a file upload dialog, or you can drag and drop a file, and it's opened in my other window, I think, yeah. Or drag and drop a file and it would allow the upload. So it's a simple package that does this one cool feature. And Andres he did not get yet the prize, probably. Not yet.
Yeah. Well, on my behalf, I also like to comment on a few packages. Let me start by this one, but first I need to share the screen. Well, this one is a package that manages a chat room. So it has two sides, the client side and the server side. and it uses Node.js on the server side and Socket.io to, if possible, we use WebSockets. And this is an interesting package by a friend of USF, Brunner. Basically, he is the winner of the month because he provided a complete chat-based system that did not exist before. So congratulations to France. France did not want to pick a prize. He's participating, he was just for the fun of participating. The next package that I want to comment is called MongoFilter. It allows you to filter a collection of items using the MongoDB syntax. So it has supports a set of operators that allows you to define criteria to traverse a collection of elements, objects. And you define conditions with the operators like these that you see here. And this package was developed by Jonathan Gotti from France. And for this, he has picked one book of choice by PACT. Finally, the other one that I wanted to comment is called Temporary Disposable Email Address Validator. And it's a package by Suresh Kumar from India. Basically, it can look at the domain of an email address, for instance, that you enter in a form, and if it is known to be of a temporary disposable email address provider, you can reject it, so you don't accept for instance, users registering with your with temporary addresses. And for this, Suresh picked a book from O'Reilly. Now moving on with the just commenting the current ranking of Innovation Award. Unfortunately, the JS classes doesn't have many authors participating, so the rankings are more or less the same. Basically, Anders Toth is ahead with 23 points and 6 packages, but now is followed closely by Suresh Kumar with 4 packages and 13 points, Jackson Alton 2 packages and 9 points, Diego LaMonica and Stefan Chapman and Arthur Sosius are now tied with 8 points in 4th place. Dusan Boskic, Gianluca Ferrari are tied with 7 points. And finally, Everton, De Rosa, and Franz Josef Brunner who are tied in 9th place with 6 points. By countries, things are more or less equivalent because apart from a few countries, most countries only have one participant. In this case, Hungary is ahead with 6 points, 6 packages and 23 points. India with 6 packages and 20 points follows in second place. In third place, United States with 3 packages and 10 points. Then comes France with France. Is tied with Australia, Latvia, and Italy with 8 points. And they are followed by Serbia and Netherlands with 7 points. And Brazil is in 10th place with 6 points and 1 package. Okay, practically we reached the end of this podcast. I'd like to thank you, Arthur, for staying up so late and depriving for your sleep. But now that we accomplished this mission of recording another interesting JavaScript podcast, I'd like to thank you all for coming. And Arthur, I hope to see you still alive next month after surviving another struggle with feeding your new baby and keeping him healthy.
Thanks. Yeah.
Okay, on my behalf, that is all for now. Bye.
Bye.